Good morning. Yes, it's good to see everyone, and it is good to be back here amongst family and friends. It's good to be back, and I want to begin by saying I appreciate so much the prayers that were offered on our behalf as we traveled to Louisiana, and as we traveled back. The trip to Louisiana was a little more enjoyable than the trip back. We took 3 days going down and less than one day coming back, and so there's a lot of difference in traveling 6, 7, 8 hours a day and traveling 16 to 18 hours in a day. But we appreciate so much your prayers on our behalf. It was really wonderful to be able to go down and to be with the brethren there again. It was like slipping into a comfortable pair of shoes just about. You know, it's just like we worked there with the congregation for about 3 years, and Brooklyn was 6 months old when we moved away from there, and so of course everybody knew her, but she knew pretty much no one. And so it was enjoyable for them to get to see her and to get to meet Austin and to get to see a lot of old friends, and it was just wonderful to be able to be there. I did bring some winter weather with me when I got there, and I forgot just how Southerners were on winter weather. We were sitting there Sunday afternoon for lunch. Some of the members had taken us out to lunch, and of course they had a nice little ice storm coming in, and it was collecting on the trees. I'm like, oh, it's so pretty. I'm like, oh, I forget y'all never see this stuff. But thankfully it cleared up for the majority of the week and didn't hinder the meeting too bad. But thank you so much for the opportunity to go down and be with them and to spend the week with them and to preach the gospel. Hopefully some good will come from it, and that I have encouraged the brethren there. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We want to look there in Luke chapter 10 and read a few passages there at the end of the chapter. In Luke chapter 10, there in verses 38 through 42, we read of two individuals that were rather close with Jesus. They, along with their brother Lazarus, we read there of the sisters Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, there in verse 38, let's begin reading there, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You know, as we go through life, as we continue to grow in this world and to grow older, it seems that we grow in our responsibilities as well. We seem to have more and more things that are trying to pull from our time. As we grow older, we become parents, and therefore we have the responsibility for our children. And as we grow older, we get more kids, and so that's more responsibility, more that we have to watch over. We gain a husband, wife, and we have responsible for our spouses. We get jobs, we have responsibility with our jobs, and there are just so many things that take from our time. And as we look at these things, it's very good that we have these responsibilities, and we should take them very seriously. But we need to also understand that sometimes these responsibilities can become distractions. That while the responsibility in and of itself is not wrong, we can allow them to take so much precedence in our life that they become distractions over that thing that is truly to be the most important thing in our life. Think about it here. Here we have Mary and Martha. Jesus is traveling along, and Jesus very seldom ever traveled by himself. He always had a pretty good sized entourage with the 12 apostles, and oftentimes there were other disciples and such that would follow him around. And so when Mary and Martha are inviting Jesus into their home, they're not just inviting Jesus, they're inviting at least 13 individuals, most likely, into their home. Now you ladies pause for just a moment and just think, what if a family of 13 showed up? How many of you would be like, "Hey, why don't y'all come on over to our house and we'll fix you something to eat? You're from out of town, you know, no, don't worry about going downtown or anything. Just come on out to our house and I'll fix you up something to eat." What are you going to do if you have the bravery to open up your home to 13 people? What are you going to do? You're going to rush home because you've prepared enough food or decided on enough food for your family. And you're going to rush home and you start banging through the cupboards. Okay, what else do I have? I've got to find something else I can cook because I got 13 people coming in. Of course, nowadays, you just go and, "Hey, Domino's, I need some pizzas delivered to the house as quickly as possible." But Mary and Martha couldn't do that, could they? And so there she begins, we see there Martha, she begins to really just go into it and do what any good hostess would do. There was absolutely nothing wrong with what she was doing. She was just preparing for the large number that had come into her home. And you know how it is with siblings, right? No matter what's going on, the other sibling's never working as hard as you. I'll never forget it. It seemed like every time we had to go out and work in the garden, every time we had to go out and do something, Beth was always sick. We'd go out to hoe the corn or go out to pick stuff out of the garden. Well, Beth's not feeling well. Or Mom, I just don't feel good. And so us boys would go out there. When Arkansas, we grew more rocks than we did anything else in the garden. Every year, we'd have to go out there and gather rocks out of the garden. We'd fill my dad's trailer up two or three times with rocks. Every year, we'd pull those rocks out. And every year, Beth's not feeling well. They're never doing what you are. Jeff and I would mow the yard. Well, he's not mowing it. I mowed more than he did. And this is what we see with Martha and Mary. She comes into Jesus and she says, is it not bothering you that, isn't this a bad thing that I'm in here, I'm cooking, I'm preparing, I'm getting everything set, the table's getting all prepared, and Mary's just sitting here? She's just sitting here doing nothing. Why don't you say something to her and bid her to come help me? Was that a bad thing? You wives think about it. When you've got company coming in, or maybe you're getting ready for an addition to the family, and you're trying to get your house straightened up, and you're like, honey, turn off the TV, come give me a hand. Ken, I know how it goes because I had the same thing said to me. Get up, turn off the computer, come give me a hand, let's get everything ready for this child that's coming. Unfortunately, we had just moved house right before Austin was born, so there was all of that as well. Come help. And when we look here, we see something that Jesus brings out. He says, you're distracted. And so when we look at Mary and Martha, we see two individuals, two different attitudes. And we see there in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Now again, what she was doing was commendable. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, look there in verse 32. As the author of Hebrews is writing and writing these things inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Hebrews chapter 13, there in verse 32, he says, do not neglect to show hospitality for strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And so here's our house. Come on in. This was something that she should be doing. We see that she was distracted with all of her preparations. Let's pause and think about who was coming into her home. This was the Son of God. This is the Messiah, the one that the people of Israel have been waiting on all of their history. And He's here. He's in my house. I can't help but think of how Anna is when her mom's coming. Just clean, scrappy clean. I would take my meal in there, drop it on the bathroom floor and eat it. She works that hard whenever the mother-in-law or the mother is coming. And this is what Martha is doing. She's so caught up and she's preparing and she wants everything. She's doing a good thing. And again, she comes to Jesus. She says, look, what about these things? And look at how Jesus replies in verse 41. Luke 10, verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things. I believe it was last year, I encouraged those that are on Facebook or Twitter, things of that nature, to go back and read their statuses and such for the previous year. I think I need to encourage some people to do that again, friends of mine in Alabama, because they just complain. They're always worrying about things. They're always complaining about things. And there's one particular friend that I encouraged to do that, and she went back through and she began looking into her life and she saw that she was complaining all the time. And I've watched her this year and she's like, I'm not going to sweat these things. This is not important. I'm going to be concerned with things that are of great importance, and that's her soul. And that's what you're worried, you're bothered about many things. And they weren't wrong that she was concerned with them. But they had taken priority in her life. And this caused anxiety of mind and distress of spirit. Martha allowed that which was good to get in the way of that which was even better. And we see the flip side there with Mary. Mary lives in this house too. She's responsible for the things that go on in this house as well. She is involved in inviting Jesus to come in and to sit down and to take a load off. And what do we find her doing? In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, we see that Martha had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to His Word. Sitting at the feet was the ancient posture that we find of disciples and learners. Those who have a great interest in the things that are being said. Now at times we're so used to lecture halls and things of that nature. But you go back in ancient times and the teacher would be gathered, whether it be just in an arch somewhere on a city street, and they would have hay bales scattered around and everybody would gather together because they wanted to hear what this fellow had to say. And so we see that Mary is seated there at the feet of Jesus, listening closely. She understands that the bread of life is being fed to her. That which is of greatest importance is available to her, and she's just getting all that she can. She was more concerned about being a good disciple than a good hostess. And note again what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Let's read in verse 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. How many times do we find ourselves getting caught up in the things of this world and we don't intend for it to take precedence in our life, but it begins to affect our spiritual life. Perhaps we put so much effort into certain things, it causes us to miss services. It causes us to not focus on reading and studying the Word of God as we should. It causes us not to be prepared for Bible classes. We don't intend for it to, and the things that we're doing are not wrong. Perhaps we're providing for our family or we're taking care of certain things that we feel are important and need to be taken care of. But we let so many of these things come into our life that we fail to focus on the good part. Or when we try to focus on the good part, we're so sleepy. And trust me, I don't want to hear anybody saying they're sleepy. 9 shots of coffee or espresso just doesn't really carry you the whole time. Having 4 hours of sleep the night before and then driving 18 hours and then sleeping about 5 or 6 hours this morning, just not enough. But we go through life so much, so full throttle. We do so many things in this world that when it comes time for church, we're sitting there. When will this preacher ever stop? Or we intend to pay attention, but we've allowed so many other things in our life to go on that we just can't. But Mary, she's seated at the feet of God, the Son of God. She's seated there listening to every word that He has to say. She had chosen the good part. In the end, as Jesus said, there is only one thing that is truly necessary in our life. In Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things." And you look back in the preceding verses, all these things, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear. All of these things, the things that we are so worried about, what we need. He said, all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be taken care of if you put serving God first and foremost in your life. Paul, in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, said, "Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." I was quite proud the day that I got to go through my closet and start pulling out shirts and going, "This hangs off me. This is huge on me. I'm going to get this out of my closet. I don't ever want to see it again." And about Thursday night of the meeting, I'm like, "I'm going to have to go grab some shirts out of that bag and pull them out," because they had fed us lunch and dinner and just rich, rich food. I was like, I want to get back. I want to get back. I want to lose that back again. But there were things of greater importance that were going on. We need to choose that which is good, that which will help us not only in this present life, but that which will help in the life to come. You see, she chose that good part. As Jesus said, the part that cannot be taken away from her. What can happen to your job? We can put forth 10, 15, 20, 30 years of work into a job and lose it in a heartbeat, right? My father-in-law had worked extremely hard in his job, and the company got bought out by another company, and he was moved to another position and thought, okay, things are okay, losing a little bit, but not everything, and then the next year you're going to have to take early retirement. All those years he had put in, he's not quite to retirement age, all those years, and just like that, your job is gone. And he didn't get the retirement that he had been working all those years for. He had some retirement, but not what he had planned on. We can work so hard to build up our home and to get the dream home. Everything's just exactly the way we want it. And lose it in a matter of hours in a house fire or a tornado or a hurricane. You see, all these things of the world that we're so concerned with. That nice new car, as we were driving down, there were several nice brand new cars that had been rolled and flipped because people driving in the snow were not taking their time, had obviously gotten in a hurry or something had happened and it caused them to destroy their car. All of these things that we worry about can be gone in a moment. I received word Saturday evening that a guy I went to high school with, 40 years old, I had just seen him the year before at our reunion. He was a fit guy. He was still an athletic guy. He coached and refereed. He was one that took good care of his life. And he died. Had been refereeing a game, didn't feel well, went and sat down, went home, died. We can put so much effort into the things of this physical life, and it can be taken away. We can get so distracted from the things of this world, and all of those things can be removed. But when you're disciplined, as we see Mary in the things of importance, in the Word of God, nothing can take that away from you. No one can take away your faith in God. No one can take away your home in heaven. No one can take away the promise that you have of eternal life. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, and the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Going over in the next chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. When we believe in the Word of God, when we obey the things that it teaches, when we put that first and foremost in our life, it can never be taken away. Mary had the discipline that she needed to seek first things first. And so we need to look at that in our own life. When we look at Mary and Martha, Martha was concerned with serving. Martha was concerned in taking care of all the things that needed to be done. What about us? Do we find ourselves becoming distracted with things that are good in and of themselves, but we allow them to take such precedence in our life that we're distracted from our service to God? Do we find ourselves becoming so caught up in our responsibilities to our husbands, to our wives, to our fathers, our mothers, our children, our jobs? Do we find that they become so much a part of our life that we neglect or we let slip that which is of greatest importance? Jesus warned against allowing such things to take precedence in our life. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Matthew. Look there in Matthew chapter 10. And you ask a lot of people, what's most important in your life? And they're going to say, my family. My family's important. I wish that we would have had time Saturday to go over. My great uncle had passed away, and my mother and her sisters were going to the funeral, and my sister, and I wish I would have had time to go over and to be with them in that difficult time, because this was my grandparents' generation, this is some of the last of them. My mom is becoming the older generation in our family. And it's beginning to dawn on her that they're it. And it's beginning to sink in on me. But look at what we read there in Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What's most important in your life? Oh, my family is. Wrong answer. We think, well, I should be concerned with my family. I should be concerned with my husband, with my wife, with my children. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you're not to be concerned about them. But what's most important in your life? God.
Amen.
That's the answer that should be given. God is to come before father and mother. God is to come before husband and wife, son or daughter. Look further if you go over just a couple of chapters there in Matthew chapter 12. Let's begin reading there in verse 46. We see Jesus speaking to the crowds. It says, "Behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him." Someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." We need to think about these things as we go through our life, that our spiritual family, because they're striving to help us to reach heaven, we need to treat them as if they truly are family, not that dysfunctional family that maybe we come from, but the kind of family that we should have as children of God. We need to put our service to the Lord first and foremost. Family and work cannot come before the kingdom of God. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, let's begin reading there in verse 16. Look at what Jesus is teaching here. He says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, "A man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city, bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner.'" Now note what's being mentioned there. Look at what's going on. Here this important individual had invited them and they said, "We'll come. We'll be there." They were planned guests. And the master sent out and said, "All right, it's time. Y'all come on." This just came up. And I consider this to be more important than your meal, this important feast that you prepared. That's really what they're saying. And don't we do that to God? When we are to come together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord's death upon the cross, to remember the sacrifice that He made, the Lord has prepared this feast. He set this memorial for us. Oh, God, I really would love to make it to your memorial meal, but, well, it's the Super Bowl. And the Steelers made it. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, little Johnny has this going on Sunday. We're going to take little Johnny to do that. He's been working really hard and they've made it into the playoffs, and this is just a very important part of his life, and this is the culmination of all of his work. And he might even get a good scholarship to a good school out of this if he plays in this game. Lord, we'd really like to be there for this meal that you prepared. But this is more important. Do we realize what we do? When we allow other things to take precedence over our service to God. You see, God is going to be to us just like He was to those. He says, I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. When we allow anything to take precedence over our service to God, when we become so distracted with the things of this world and lose our discipline in serving the Lord, even if we're distracted by good, we need to be careful in these things. The cares of this world will leave us unprepared. We might find ourselves becoming distracted by good, but are we disciplined? Martha was distracted by all this serving, but Mary was disciplined. One who is disciplined is one who has set his sights on something and he's going to do whatever it takes to reach that goal. He's going to put into practice everything that's necessary. He's going to focus all of his attention on that one thing. One who is disciplined. Are we disciplined to seek that which is better? Are we disciplined to seek the one thing that is really needed? Are we disciplined to put away all the distractions that might be pulling us away and focus on that which is of supreme importance? Jesus taught the value of choosing the good part. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, let's look over there and look a little more fully at what Jesus is saying there. Matthew chapter 6, let's begin reading there in verse 30. In Matthew 6 and verse 30, Jesus said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see how easy it is to get distracted with all the things that are going on around us? But what about tomorrow? What about next year? Am I going to have enough for this? Am I going to have enough for that? We get so caught up in these things, we get so worried about these things, that we allow ourselves to become distracted. But we need to increase in our discipline, in our focus. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and you won't have to worry about all these other things. Jesus promised that whatever we sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, we will receive 100 times. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Mark. Pay close attention to what Jesus is saying here in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 28. Look at what Peter is saying here. In Mark 10, there in verse 28, Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. How noble. And think about it, they had, hadn't they? Peter, Andrew, James, and John had a fishing business. And when Jesus said, come with me, I'll make you fishers of men, they left their nets, they left their parents, they left their boats, they left everything and followed after Jesus and continued following Him all the rest of that time. We've left everything and followed you. Jesus said, verse 29, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in that present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. As we were in Bossier City, Louisiana, there, I believe it was Thursday or Friday evening, we were talking with two of the ladies there that were members there, and they had kind of, as older members, oftentimes kind of taken us under their wing because we had moved away from family and kind of watched over us. There's been a mom and dad or multiple moms and dads in every single congregation I've ever been a part of. And they were, you're driving home all day Saturday? Yes, ma'am. You be careful. You listen to your moms. And you be careful. I've had to leave behind my family and the job, the life that I chose. My wife had to leave behind her family, and it's not been easy at times. You miss your mom. You miss your dad. How many of y'all enjoy getting to see your mom and dad on a relatively frequent basis? Maybe living a few streets or just an hour or so from your parents. But Jesus said, I don't care what you've given up. You get 100-fold in return. When you put God first and foremost in your life, when you surrender yourself to His will, you receive 100-fold the things that you've given up. Think about that. We also receive something that the world can in no way give. In John chapter 14, there in verse 27, John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Going over in the next chapter, in John chapter 15, there in verse 11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." The Apostle Paul wrote of these things over in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, there beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the question for you this morning, are you one who's distracted? Would Jesus look at you and go, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about a lot of things. Only one thing is of any importance. Only one thing can provide eternal life. Only one thing is necessary in our lives. Are you disciplined in that one thing?" You may look into your life and see that you've allowed things to distract you in your service to God. They may not be wrong, but they need to be brought under control. Maybe it's time for you to sit once again at the feet of Jesus to remove all these distractions and focus on that which is to be of the greatest importance. As parents, perhaps we need to be training our children that yes, these other things in the world, they are of some importance. But this, serving God, reading His Word, obeying His gospel, living a devoted life to Him, that is the only thing that truly matters. If you're not devoted to God, if you're allowing other things to separate you from your service to God, then today is your day to focus once again on your service to God, to remove all the distractions, and to say once again, "Father, I sit at your feet. I am a devoted disciple of yours." But perhaps you're here, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you understand that your sins have separated you from God, then you need to come forward and confess your belief, repent of your sins, and be buried in baptism, putting God at the forefront of your life. Whatever you need to do, be disciplined in your service to God today as we stand and as we sing.